Each and every one of you is sitting there with a microphone up in the air. We can't hear you out here. If you do us the courtesy of pulling your mic down and turning it on when you speak, it would be very appreciated.
Anything further on the ordinances? Okay, then, before we begin to consider the new ordinance, I have two announcements I think everyone would be interested in. First is that the Treasury has issued its final regs on the expenditure of the rescue funds. I have not read them. Mr. Murphy is not here to respond.
I read them.
Pardon?
I said I read them.
Okay. I have not. So that has an implication on one of the ordinances before us tonight. The second announcement is that the judge's office plans to issue an RFP for the application for the rescue funds. And Mr. Anderson is here. If there are any questions about it, I don't know any of the details whatsoever except that an RFP is going to be issued.
What's the RFP for?
The rescue.
Well,
application for the rescue funds.
So are you saying that anybody that wants rescue funds for a project needs to put in an RFP?
As long as it meets the Treasury's guidelines.
Mr. Anderson, can Mr. Anderson explain that to us, please?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes, sir. We are planning to put out an RFP to run through the 15th of March, asking anybody that wants to apply for funds for the American Rescue Funds to have your proposal for your request in by the 15th of March. And then we'll gather those, run through legal, make sure they qualify, and then move them forward from there.
Have a dead date that you're
going to
start a project?
Well, it depends on the project and how fast they get through.
At the point of order, I really think we ought to address the chair so that we can conduct a meeting.
Do we have a date in mind for when the projects will begin or when this evaluation will stop?
Mr. Chair, I'm curious about that too. If Mr. Anderson can speak to that.
Yes, it just depends on the projects. We'll get them through the office as soon as we can and start presenting them to the court as soon as we can process it. And then it goes from there as far as when the construction can start or the project or the funds being allocated.
Excuse me, Chairman, can I get one more question? The RFP that the judge is requesting, that's for non-government requests? Or is it for everybody?
It's primarily for non-government, but we suggest that any elected officials that would like to request the funds also let us know so that we can consider them all at once.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That was your first point, correct? That RFPs will be issued and that the final rule has been ordered from the Treasury Department. Was there any more to that, or I'm curious to know what your second point was? Or was that the first and second point?
Those were two points that were interrelated.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask, Mr. Higgins, would you care to tell us a little bit about the Treasury regulations that you read? Or?
So I just took some notes that I was going to share tonight as a highlight. Final rule were published on January the 6th, so they're only a few days old. They take effect on April the 1st. So until April the 1st, we're still under the interim rule. So anything that can be done, then we still fall under the interim rule. It's interesting, you know, we've called the ARP and the funds a number of things. The new document actually refers to the permanent rules, as the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds. So instead of being referred to as ARP, they're now referred to as SLFRF, State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds. The final rule is over 400 pages, but a good document, Justice Brown, is there's a final rule overview that you can download from the Treasury site that is 44 pages, and it really gets to the meat and highlights the things that are going to be of interest to us. I've reviewed the 44 page. I've been kind of going through the 400. 400 is pretty boring. I've gone back to the 44 page overview. So I recommend any quorum court member go to the treasury.gov site, download those documents, and go through them. They'll be very advantageous to all of us going forward. And that's the highlights.
Do you remember, just off your head, anything in particular that jumped out that changed from the interim rules to the final rules now?
You know, there was a few things that jumped out. They're a little more, less stringent on some of the things that we spend money on. So, as an example, one thing that caught my eye is that radio and communications gear would be covered. You know, that was a debate on, as we funded the reserve, radios, on whether they would be or not, and we weren't sure anything. I actually found a section that says they are communications gear for emergency responders is covered. There's a section about the first $10 million being unencumbered. We, as a group, really need to study up on that. There was a few other items that expanded on some of the, you know, initially we talked about five justified topics that you could spend the ARP money on. That has been expanded out somewhat. It defines them a lot better. Really, it's the information that I wish we had 6 months ago. So of the 400 pages, that was about what I got in the Cliff Notes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything further for Mr. Higgins or Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Chairman, could I ask, when these projects come to the judge's office, what will the process be after that? I mean, will the judge decide which projects to fund? Will that be up to the court? How will that work?
I think the judge promised the court previously that anything he gets, he would move forward to the court. And there may be an exception where the counselor may determine that it's not illegal to spend the funds for the requested purpose.
So he would forward all of the proposed projects according to Councilor Murphy, that meet to the court, and then the court would sort through them?
Yes, sir. I believe that's his intentions.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Anything further? Okay, well then let's move to proposed ordinance 20-01, which is a cleanup ordinance, and I need a motion to put it on the table for consideration.
I move that we approve proposed ordinance 2201.
Second. Okay. Are there questions about anything in the ordinance? If there are none, then I need a motion to refer the 2201 to the full court for its consideration.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of referring 2201 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Next is ordinance 22-02.
Make a motion, we put 2202 on the table.
Second.
Okay. Now this section one takes the money out of the American Rescue Plan Fund. And I have not read the ordinance, and the rest of us haven't read the ordinance, have not read the Treasury's final ruling on the matter. But what was it, Mr.
Higgins, 34 pages or 43 pages?
It's 44 pages for the overview. Pages.
I know. So whether this qualifies, I don't know.
Mr. Murphy's online. Can he give us any guidance on that?
Mr. Murphy?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, was there a question that was asked of me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Murphy. I was just wondering, can you tell us how this fits into the interim rule? I think Justice Higgins said that we are still under the guidance from the interim rule, right?
That's correct. We are under the guidance of the interim rule. And I hadn't had a conversation with Margaret about the particulars of this grant and what she's trying to purchase. However, anything that is purchased that is done with the effort to stem the spread of the coronavirus would be allowable under the interim rule. So if you could show the equipment, lessens the spread of the virus, and you qualify.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask the Secretary to maybe present on the pitch here.
Apologize. This request is for new Express Poll tablets that would help cut down the spread of COVID during election time. The tablets are, I'm handing you out a description of the tablets with a picture. The voter would not touch the tablet. They would come in, they would show their driver's license, and actually this tablet would read their driver's license, retrieve them in our system, and they would never touch the tablet. They would be given a stylus pen to sign with and not actually ever touch this tablet. So it would not spread from person to person to person during election time. So it's a very, it'll be very efficient and help cut down the spread of COVID during elections. And I had made a change in given to Pickett. There's an additional item that I've made copies of, but I may have put them in the back. That's a wand. There's a wand that also we can scan over the voter booths that will not be harsh chemicals, but is 99.9% effective, the same as using the COVID wipes or alcohol or Clorox, but they would be safer for our voting machines. And they're $3.99, and I was asking to get 25 of them to help the spread of COVID during election time. This will be in a big election year. Everybody will be on the ballots this year, except for the president and some of the U.S. people, but it's going to be a large ballot, so I do anticipate a big turnout this year in May.
Mr. Chair, I had a chance to visit with the county clerk on this a week or so back, and based on her description tonight, I'm convinced that this is part of COVID mitigation, which does fall under both the interim rules and over the permanent rule.
He's going to hand out the updated ordinance that includes this pure vote wand.
Chairman, could I ask his daughter a question also?
Pardon?
Could I ask his daughter another question?
Sure. Ms. Daughter, have you finished your presentation?
Yes, Your Honor.
I just wanted to know, and just for the record on the video, this is not a machine to vote on. This is just a check-in for voting.
This is the check-in tablet, yes.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yes.
So, who would be utilizing this equipment specifically?
The ExpressPo would be replace all the tablets at all the sites. We have 82. We have 22 sites. And each, you know, like McGee has more. I have four or five at my office. Each site has so many. So it would replace all of our tablets and update the central point that tracks y'all's vote through central point. Not your vote, but that you voted.
And so the poll workers would be the ones using this equipment?
The poll workers would be the one using the equipment. And then the wands would be sent out to all the polling sites to be used on the voting booths.
Okay.
And also, like, if anyone touches a pen, then that could be run over the stylus and stuff like that to protect as well without having to dip them in Clorox and have smudged Clorox and stuff at the sites.
Okay, and if someone isn't voting with a driver's license as their proof of identification, does this work with all forms of voter identification?
Well, 99% of the thing is presented will be the driver's license. The other IDs, if they have a barcode, it will probably bring up, but if not, the election worker still has the capability of doing a manual search just like the old tablets. But would still not have the poll worker touching it.
Okay, and this runs the same software as the tablet does? Is that correct?
This will replace the tablet, so it will be different software. We would no longer use the tablets, the older tablets.
Okay.
You know, the older tablets, when you turn on, they get hung up in the cords, and they get, I don't know if you've noticed the stuff, they're starting to already get weakened because the cords have been in binds. These don't have the cords in the bind. This pivots and is much cleaner on turning around for getting the signatures and stuff from the voter.
Okay, no further questions. Thank you.
Mr. Kendrick.
Yes, sir. I just had a comment. If there was concern about whether this actually falls under the COVID funding, I guess, Mr. Murphy, I don't want to volunteer for anything, or somebody else could reach out to AAC for further guidance. I mean, it sounds like it probably does fall within that realm since it is COVID mitigation related, but assuming it does pass out of committee, there's a week or so to check with AAC just for additional guidance if that is a concern for somebody. Thank you.
Are there further comments or questions for Ms. Darter?
I guess just one more. The storage of these when they're not in use. How many did you say you were going to order? 25?
82.
82 of them.
Yes. The storage will be about the same as the storage of what I have. Mm-hmm. I can also offer the, once I come back and get an ordinance from you, I can offer the other tablets to other counties that need to update to those tablets. So there's a possibility of being able to get some money back from the older tablets.
Okay. Do these come with any type of warranty or protections if they break on you the first year? Or?
Yes, they're under, with ES&S, they are under a warranty. They're also, we'll have a service contract with them to protect them as well.
Okay, and ES&S, this is a reputable company that you know of that have worked with maybe?
They're approved by the Secretary of State's office. That's who all this counties in Faulkner County purchase our election equipment from. Okay. And that's who our software provider is.
That helps. Thank you.
Anything further? Then I need a motion to move this, the corrected ordinance, to the full court for its consideration.
So moved.
Second. Got a second. All in favor of moving proposed ordinance 22-02 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Good.
Who made that second, please?
Boyer.
Pardon?
Justice Boyer.
I thought someone made it before him. Thank you.
Next is
Proposed ordinance 22-03.
I move that we put ordinance 2203 on the table.
Second.
Good. Are there questions or comments for proposed ordinance 22-03? Hearing none, then I need a motion to move proposed ordinance 2203 to the full court for its consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor of moving proposed ordinance 2203 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Now, the next is proposed ordinance 22-04, which is the Personnel Committee just sent to us for our consideration.
Make a motion that we put 2204 on the table.
Second.
Are there questions or concerns about proposed ordinance 22-04?
Could I ask a question, Chair, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Does this replace the part-time employee, or is it in addition to the part-time employee position?
It's in addition to the part-time.
So you'll still have a part-time in that
position. Mm-hmm. I also did the salary serving, and I included the lawn automation fund.
Thank you. Which you did not have to do, but thank you for doing anyways.
No, you can't.
Ms. Sherman.
I did want to let you know, too, that compared to the other Class 6 counties, we are very understaffed. If you look at the population and the employees that are in the other Class 6 counties, Craighead County has 9 full-time employees. Garland County has 11 full-time employees. Jefferson County has 7. Saline County has 12. Sebastian County has 9. And White County, which is probably close to half the size of our county, does have the same amount of full-time employees as we do. And a lot of these counties, in addition to these full-time employees, have 2 part-time positions as well. And currently, I have 6 full-time employees and 1 part-time.
Additional questions or comments from Ms. Coombs?
Sure, I have a question. Ms. Coombs, on the breakdown, the 9212 for insurance, is that health insurance?
Margaret?
Excuse me?
For health insurance, the breakdown?
The 1009.
1009 is health insurance, yes. Right.
Thank you.
I am in jeopardy also of losing my part-time girl right now. She's looking at full-time positions elsewhere. And I've put in the time to train her, and she has done a wonderful job for us. It's just a shame to lose a trained employee like this. When the money's there, it's not going to cost County General or the taxpayers any additional money.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to advance to full court.
Second.
All in favor of advancing proposed ordinance 22-04 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good. Now, proposed resolution 22-02.
I move we put resolution 2202 on the table.
Second.
Good. Is there any comments or questions about proposed resolution 2202?
I'd love to hear about the tax back program.
There you go.
If anybody cares.
That's a shame because I'm here to talk about an exciting investment opportunity. I'm Jamie Gates, Executive Vice President of Conway Development Corporation, and we have two oddly similar resolutions in front of you tonight, both pertaining to two companies titled WestRock that have nothing to do with each other other than they're both growing and they're both in Conway, which is the two best shared qualities any two companies could have. The tax back program is a program that is one of the statutory incentives made available to stimulate investment for any company in the state of Arkansas. It's a statutory incentive, which means the amount of the incentive is prescribed by state law. It's part of the Consolidated Incentives Act. And then there's just a path for any company that's eligible to take advantage of it. And that path includes endorsing resolution from the local government entity. And so what the tax back program does is when a company meets an investment threshold, and so we'll take these in order, WestRock Converting, WestRock Container, most people here would remember it as Rock 10. Its new name is WestRock, which was formed with a kind of a mega consolidation with the Mead Paper Company. Some people, maybe somebody would remember it as Cleave Pack, which is when it was first been in Conway. But it's been here about 50 years, employs 250 employees. The program they have is a $18.3 million investment in new machinery and upgrades to their facility that will result in 33 new jobs. What TaxBack does is their expenses that are subject to sales tax, they can submit paperwork upon receiving a resolution of endorsement from the county. They've already received this from city government, and they can submit to DF&A for a rebate on sales tax they pay for eligible expenses. And that includes, you know, machinery, parts. It could include office equipment, not supplies. But it's the capital investment related to the expansion that's subject to sales tax. They can apply to get that back from DFA. And so that is the same dynamic for WestRock Coffee, which many more people have heard of recently because they announced $160 million in investment and 250 new jobs.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve.
Yes.
For the court.
Second.
Mr. Chair, before we vote on that, I did notice a typo. There is an extra A in section 1 after LLC. Don't know if we need to move to amend to delete that extra A.
Where is that?
WestRock Converting LLC A is endorsed. I think that's just a typo.
Is that in the title?
No, it's under section 1 under the there are four clauses. Oh, I see. Yeah, I think it's a copy paste there. It's the same error on the next resolution.
I'll make a motion to omit the letter A from section 1.
Second.
All in favor of eliminating the A in section 1 indicate by saying aye.
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 Good. Well, all in favor of advancing the amended resolution 2202 to the full court for its consideration indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Thank you, Mr. Gates.
Well, thank you, committee. And I do want to recognize, I don't know that this would categorize itself as historical, but at least in my experience, in my time at the CDC, which has been a while, we haven't come before this body to kind of engage in economic development recruitment or retention programs. There are only a handful of tools that we have at the local level, and I would say that is the county and city. And, you know, one of the strategic goals we've got for our organization is to kind of stay in closer touch with this body. You know, this is one where that it's in the city of Conway, and so the property tax abatement was taken, that was handled by the municipal government. But when there are investments either elsewhere in the county, it could even be in the city of Conway or in unincorporated areas of the county, that's the type of thing we would bring back. I hope to bring back many more projects like this one in the future. So this is an excellent first start. We'd love to keep doing this over and over. Thanks for supporting it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gates. The next is Resolution 2203.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we put 2203 on the table. We also amend it accordingly in Section 1.
Second.
In comments or questions about Resolution 2203 corrected?
Well, I actually have one question for you, Jamie, before you go. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation, but I do have one question that I'd follow up with you regardless. But just out of curiosity, why do you think we haven't seen something like this before? How's this just coming about right now? I'm just curious.
So it's up to the company to, to which programs, they want to pursue. I would say that our most frequently used investment incentive is Act 9 bonds, industrial revenue financing. When those take place in the city of Conway, we usually handle those at the city council level. I do think there's potentially a legal argument as that it's most appropriate to take that to the body closest to that, so just to be use the most precise kind of level of government, because it might affect the property taxes inside of the city. So we use that one with 10 times more frequency than we do this tax back resolution. Some companies choose to pursue it, some don't. Sometimes it merits the work, sometimes it
right. It
doesn't. And then, large capital investments don't happen as frequently as we want them to.
So could you have gone to a different local entity? Could you have gone to the city of Conway for a
resolution
like this?
So we did for the city sales tax, but now this resolution is for the county share of the sales tax.
That,
and then the state will also be rebating the eligible portion of the state sales tax. The portion of the state sales tax eligible for rebate. There's some for educational equity and conservation that aren't subject to rebate.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Now, all in favor of advancing Resolution 2203 to the full court for its consideration, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Good. Final is that Mr. Sanson is here to talk about the money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me start with apologizing for my tardiness. I had 6:15 on my calendar. I want to apologize for that. Now, I've got quite a bit of information tonight, and I can stay as long or get out of here as quick as you want.
Quick words.
Okay. Did I hear a motion for quick? Let's get started. Summary statements from court, January 1st to December 30th. County General Fund, $1,000, $4,429,331.32. County Road Fund, $2,000, $4,521,948.28. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,402, $3,615,176.94. And Warfare and Control Fund, $3,404, $1,411,702.40. County Justice Sales Tax Fund, $3,407, $1,929,315.05. A couple things I want to mention on this first page. Our ending balance right now is $4.4 million. We're going to spend about another $150,000 to $200,000 in period 13. Our ending balance going into next year is going to be about $4.2 million. On the budget book, our projected rollover was $3.2 million. So there's some dollars there. I mean, that's a big number. One of the biggest I've ever missed. But
an increase of a million?
Yeah, we're looking at an increase of $1 million on the next year's budget. And it just takes one little look right there to see why. We revenued in 2021 $13,042,227.28 and only spent $11 million is a lot of money, but spent $11,073,609.30. That's a $2 million in the good, right? We have never been close to that. I mean, I think one year we might have been $400,000 over our expenditures.
Do I recall correctly from budgeting you were projecting somewhere around $1 million?
We're going to have to clean that question up just a little bit. Tell me what you're asking again.
Sorry, you're saying that there's how much carryover? Is that the number you're
The carryover is going to be roughly $4.2 million versus what I projected at $3.2 million. That's an additional $1 million.
Okay, so I remember from budgeting, after the budget, when the budget was first proposed, the amount unappropriated was somewhere around $900,000. And I'm just wondering if these numbers.
These numbers have nothing to do with those numbers.
Okay.
Other than those numbers are going to change drastically when the amendment comes out, and we usually do it in March.
Except they're going to change.
They're going to be. There's going to be more available.
That's what I'm trying to anticipate.
Yes.
Okay.
So once again, the $2 million in revenues over expenditures, it's awesome. But as y'all know, I projected really low for 2021, and I was hoping we'd be. Didn't know what coming out of 2020 what was going to happen. So we beat it by a million. And then you can look down here on the bottom section on the county general line, percent used of county general budget, 91.33%. That's about 4%, 3.5%, 4% lower than normal. Okay? So not only did our revenues beat projections quite a bit, our expenditures were a less percentage of our budget than normal. Okay? Those two things kind of add in to be where we are with all the carryover. If you can flip over to page 2, and this is going to be county general revenue. This is what we look at every week. I told you last month that we had to add a new barrier line because we had, it was topped out at $12 million, and now we're 13.5, so we had to redo our chart there. And we're going to talk about this here in just a little bit more in just a minute on percent over what it had been last year. But you can see the three previous years were right there, pretty close together. And then we had a large jump this year. Turning to page 3. Sales tax revenue for December, $1,074,796.58. That is 23.82% better than this time last year. We had, coming into last month, we said we were probably going to finish out about the 15% over 21 versus 20. We're actually at 16.12. That kicked us up another percent over the 2020. That finishes out the year at $11,913,358.38. We were just shy, maybe $6,000 shy of 12 million. And when you're talking about 11.9 versus 10.2, that's quite a few dollars to be split between criminal justice and county road. Flipping to page 3, that's actually page 4. As you can see on that, still the same numbers. These are kind of overlapping when you come to the end of the year. But we hit 117% of our projected revenue. And the last page, that's got our 3-month moving average and our 1-year moving average. Three-month moving average is kind of leveled out there a little bit. We're going to see what typically at this time of year it starts trending down, but the fact that it's leveling out and our one-year moving average is just skyrocketing pretty much. We have not, our three-month moving average has not dipped below our one-year moving average since April of 2020. That's the longest run since I've been doing this that we've had with the three-month moving average. staying above the one-year moving average. Are there any questions on that little packet there? This is our normal packet. I feel like I've gone through it real quick there, but there's a lot more information in there if y'all want to study it. And this is something, and then this second packet that I've got here, this is something, this is new. We're going to try it out and see if you want it or don't want it. This is kind of an end of the year review on the revenue side. On that first page is the county general yearly revenues, and it's 2014 to 2021. And I've got it broken down by, those are revenue series, whether it's state aid or federal aid or property tax or whatever the revenue series is, not necessarily line item by line item, but gives you a pretty good idea there. And we've got the totals of the actual revenue, and then I've broken it down, come down a little bit further and added into transfers. And as you can see, 20 to 21, we were up 11% in county general with, if you exclude transfers, and then up 17.9% if you do include transfers. That's a big jump. A big jump when you look, kind of look back across there and see that we are trending somewhere around even. The revenue numbers, actual revenues from transfers per year from 14 to 21 is roughly 3.34%. That large jump has got a few things tied into it to get there. The main thing was the ad valorem tax assessment for this year collected was up 3.5%, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute. But also, I think overall revenues have some sort of inflation, a little bit of inflationary number in them, that things are just costing a little bit more, and we're getting a little bit more revenue off of it. Is there any questions on that sheet? Okay, on the next two sheets, it's one combined document, but it's two sheets. I went ahead and kind of broken it down a little bit further and kind of line item by line item. And I just want to go over a few highlighted things here. In Series 7000, which is state aid, we were up 15.4%. The majority of that difference was in real estate transfer tax, which we know with the way the market, housing market is gone, we've had a lot of transactions. That's where that money comes from, the real estate transfer tax, is in mortgages, new deeds. That's collected by the circuit clerk. On property tax, on current property tax, you can see that amount was up 3.5%. That's exactly how much the assessment was above the previous year assessment. Matches, it couldn't match any better. Down in 7,400, fines, forfeitures, and cost. In circuit court fines and forfeitures, you see that's up 54.7%. I think that's largely due to the sheriff's office, I guess, could probably talk about that a little bit more. And Mr. Murphy's office, when they started doing that extra collection back in the middle of the year, first of the year, I think that's probably what's got that kicked up, those amounts. In Series 7500, interest rates have gotten bad again. We were locked into some CDs that we'd come out of in this last year, and interest was down considerably. Flipping me to the last page here. Under 7,800 jail fees, prisoner care reimbursement for state prisoners was up 42%. I think that has a whole lot to do with COVID in 2020 and actually getting state prisoners back in 2021. And once again, the sheriff's office could probably expand on that a little bit more. That and the juvenile intake and probation was considerably more this year than last year. Once again, those are questions that the sheriff could probably give you a better detail on. I just see the numbers on those. Are there any questions on any of that?
This is awesome.
That was my next question, is do you find this part helpful for end of the year?
For what?
For the end of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, not every day.
Yeah, this is a little bit too much information for monthly, but I think it probably captures what we've done through the year versus other years, and then
in that change, let's get a little bit of detail into it and see where we're actually moving.
This really helps you understand county generals.
Yeah, well.
That helps me.
Yeah. Okay, good. And let me just say this, if this will all be on the website tomorrow. So if anybody, whether it's in the, I know I didn't have enough copies for everybody in here, but they'll be on the website. Anybody has any questions, any of this stuff, just give me an email or a phone call and we'll talk about it and work it out.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's good, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further before the committee tonight? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.